And this is the fourth and final list of 2023, which is the best albums of 2023. It was hard to kind of make this list because there was a lot of great projects that came out this year, a lot in the summer and a lot in the early years of January and February. Seems to be a lot of great material coming in from the best of the best and some of the new up and coming artists. So I decided to go with my top 20 albums that I've enjoyed throughout this whole year. Starting it off at number 20 is Gut by Olivia Rodrigo, which was a more pop punk focus on her sound than her 2021 debut, which was really fun and enjoyable to see some of the more personal writings that we see from her and creating a lot of catchy tunes and going to more 80s influenced indie rock and more pop punk focused tracks and had a lot more improvement with it. I really enjoyed it. And at number 19, we will go with Mental Trillness by Juicy J. This little mixtape was an interesting point of view to see from Juicy. Having to see some focused songs on this album, really enjoyed it, having some great features and some catchy tunes with some great production choices that he would go on to, great Memphis sound and some Memphis representation, and a surprising vulnerability moment for some tracks on this album. I really enjoyed it, really good stuff. Number 18 is The Pink Tape by Lil Uzi Vert. The long-awaited and heavily teased album has finally dropped, going in to see a very hefty project, but a little array of different experimental ideas that Uzi would go into, such as going to metal and having a cover of Chop Suey, which was an interesting approach, but the overall hyped ideas that Uzi was going on to for this project really worked well, creating a lot of great tunes and very catchy songs to pretty much hear live would be exciting to hear. Now we'll go on to number 17, One More Time by Blink-182. This is the reunion album of the classic trio of the Enema State era of Blink-182, of Tom DeLonge, Mark Hoppus, and Travis Barker, and they did a nice job in kind of bringing in that nostalgia factor back into Blink-182, especially with this album here, to kind of show in more focused and vulnerable personal stories that we hear from the trio. Really cool having to see some nice ideas, and also a sweet moment to see a great band reunited again. At number 16, we got Let's Start Something by Lil Yachty. This was a very interesting project to start off with the year in 2023 because Lil Yachty was kind of still experimenting with his sound with the wavy vocals, but before that he was going into more of a indie psychedelic rock scene similar to like Tame Impala or Pink Floyd, which everyone wasn't feeling at first, but it was kind of something to kind of grow on me a little bit. I really enjoyed it, really solid stuff and nice approach he was going on to for it. Next at number 15, we got Take Me Back to Eden by Sleep Token. This project was a very exciting project for me to listen to and even review because how much of a genre fluid band like Sleep Token can go on to a infinite amount of approaches and ideas that they can go on to, especially having this album to be the concluding trilogy album release that they've done for a little bit of time. But other than that, it was a really great project, very creative and very bold statement to go on to for Sleep Token. And for a first impression for a band like this, really good shit. I really am amazed by it. Up next at number 14, we got Kali Uchis' album, Red Moon in Venus. This one's a really stellar project for me from her, and having to be a follow-up from her last album in 2019, having a very heavy influence of R&B infused beats and creating infectious grooves to ride the nighttime vibes for. Really cool stuff. I really enjoyed it. A lot of great material from it. I can't wait for her new album to come next year. Next up at number 13, we got Sexy Red's Hood Hottest Princess and It's Deluxe Edition. This little mixtape was a real fun project that I've listened to for a while, having to show in some nice catchy melodies and having a great song like Ski Yeep blowing up and having her get a little bit more attention. And the Deluxe Edition was a very nice surprise and having some great features such as Chief Keef, and also having Chief Keef on a remix on another song, Fuck My Baby Dad, which is a real great song in general. Most of the stuff on this mixtape and its Deluxe Edition are fun, ratchet, and having catchy hooks and just being raunchy in general. Really fun stuff to listen to. Up next at number 12, we got Petro Dragonic by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. This is one of the newest projects that they've released, two out of this year so far, this one being the more stoner thrash metal side on their releases. Really fun stuff. It reminded me of their 2019 album, Infest the Rat's Nest, with that little sound too. Really cool, has a nice little concept about wizards, dragons, and witches and shit. Really fun stuff while having a nice little message behind it too. Really fun stuff. Next up at number 11, we got Heaven Knows by Pink Pantress. This is the official debut studio album by UK garage and hyperpop artist Pink Pantress, having to show in some nice melodies and catchy riffs and having some nice features on that project as well too. Great beats, very infectious, having to see the production on it. Even though I was a little disappointed that Please Turn Off Your Phone with Destroy Lonely wasn't on it, I was a little disappointed it wasn't on the album, but overall, besides that, really great project. I really enjoyed it. Next up at number 10, we got Jaguar 2 by Victoria Monette. This has to be one of my favorite R&B albums that I've heard for quite a while. This was a really fun project, having some nice catchy tunes. My all-time favorite is Cadillac, A Pimp's Anthem. Really cool, infectious beat, really cool melodies and vocals that Victoria would display. Really great, really fun project. Number 9 is If Looks Could Kill by Destroy Lonely. One of the more heftier projects from this opium rapper, because it was going into 26 tracks and having to kind of show in a array of versatility from Destroy Lonely. Sure, some people may say that he does the same thing over and over and over and sounds monotonous, but I do see the ideas in going more grungy and trap rock, a little more on that versatility, more vulnerability, having some more flexing bars. Really cool stuff, and having to kind of show in some expansion and getting another great Ken Carson collab within this song as well too. Even getting a little director's cut deluxe edition for some of the songs on that album. Really cool stuff. I really do enjoy it. It's a really great project. One of my favorites from the Opium record label, having to show off that versatility. Does a great job with it. At number 8, we got Offset's album, Set It Off. This is the second solo studio album by Offset and giving us a more hefty project with 21 to 22 tracks off this album. Great features, great ideas, and having to show in some nice vulnerable moments from Offset and having to see the impact that life has affected him on for over a year and a half with him. Really cool stuff, giving us some nice amped up material with some more focused ideas. Really cool stuff. I would have to say is probably his best material so far, and succeeding over his last album he did in 2019, Father of Four. That was a great album, but this one, Set It Off, is a great follow-up, and let alone does a nice job in kind of matching or succeeding a little bit over his first album. Really great stuff. At number 7, we got For All the Dogs by Drake. This is the long-awaited teased album a little bit from Drake, and have to be theorized when he's going to drop this album, going into more of a older school Drake with the rapping, as well as going to R&B vocals a little bit. He does a nice job in showing that a lot in this one, showing the nice Drake that everyone was looking for that old Drake, as well as the additional Scary Hours 3 edition for the album, pulling in some more awesome tracks to kind of show in that old school Drake that most people love, whether it's the rapping Drake or the melodic crooning R&B 2010 2012 ish singing material that we got back in those days. Really great stuff. I really enjoyed it. Number 6 is Magic 3 by Nas, having this to be the third and final installment in the Magic series and 6th overall studio album by him and Hit Boy, going off with a bang on this album here, having to be a follow-up to Magic 2 back in mid-July of this year. It was really cool with 15 tracks, having only a Lil Wayne feature on this project. Really cool stuff. The production was neat and having some nice best bars from this catalog in the Magic series, in my opinion. I really enjoyed it, and having to go off with a nice theatrical movie roll credit track called 1-800 Nas and Hit, having to kind of say thanks to everyone who listened to all 6 albums together and making the great music as well too throughout of it. Really good stuff, really great collaboration, such a great run, nothing but heat. Number five, we got Killer Mike's album, Michael. This is the newest solo studio album from one half of Run the Jewels, let alone having to release a solo album over a decade ago, but it was worth the wait and the hype that he was bringing on to throughout this album, having to show off a nice theatrical concept throughout his personal life and his personal journey as a rapper. Really cool stuff. I really do enjoy it. A lot of great material, great features, and even getting Andre 3000 on this album was really great, pulling in a great verse for one of the songs on this album. Really great stuff. Now, coming up next at number four is Scaring the Hoes by JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown. This little compilation of 14 tracks was a immaculate set of productions and crazy beat switches and great bars from both Peggy and Danny Brown. Really does a nice job in kind of showing their chemistry, even though this was a little bit of a heavily teased idea for pretty much anyone that's really interested to see some of Peggy's productions being rapped over by Danny Brown's vocals and some from Peggy as well too. Really good, really great stuff, nice commentary, really great beat switches like I mentioned, having also some great features. Also, anything in that album is worth listening to, have a lot of replay value with it. Number three, we got And Then You Pray For Me by Westside Gunn. This is the fifth and final studio album by one third of Griselda's very own Westside Gunn, which is going to be his last studio album as a solo artist in general, but didn't say entirely that he's going to stop quitting music. But to kind of show off his statement piece to being this last album we got from him was really good, really strong, having some great features, an array of ideas going on to the old school classic boom bap Griselda beats, do more modern dirty trap beats a little bit too, kind of make it more of a mixtape while articulately textured out really well with it, and as a overall project itself, really curated really well for Westside Gunn to conclude his discography with it. Next at number two, we got Nina by Velm9 and Nug Life. This is the newest album. This album does show a lot of great development and showing in the nice perfect details that we see from both the production end of Nug Life, creating very sweet soul samples, jazzy trap tunes, as well as some New York grittiness on the boom bap productions and some great beat switches throughout this album, and a nice pen game to kind of match that production from Velm9, whether it's her strictly rapping or strictly singing or having a nice little balance of both on some songs. Throughout this whole album, it does show in a nice improvement and a nice chemistry between Velm9 and Nug Life, and it really shows out throughout this album. Really the best project I've seen and heard by far. Great production, really great stuff. And finally, at number one, we got Utopia by Travis Scott. This is my 2023 album of the year and best album that I've listened to in quite a while, because Travis Scott has been heavily teasing this album for quite a while, and we see the ideas and what the concept would be like for Utopia having to be similar to his 2015 Rodeo debut. Really going to be some more exciting production choices, and seeing the features that he has on this album really shines well. Despite having Parasail being a little run-of-the-mill interlude, unfortunately to me, but I do see this overall album really shining on and really does a nice job improving from Astroworld while keeping the nice nostalgia appeal of Rodeo with the balance of the melodic crooning and rapping a little bit with it. Great beat switches, great features, as well as being an overall concept for the album of Utopia, really successful with it. And so that concludes the best of the best albums that I've heard in 2023, and concluding this final episode for the year. Thank you so much. But remember, this is my personal opinion based on my personal enjoyment of this project. Thank you, Keep on Creating Little Junkies.